Please stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Creating Modern Application Architectures Using HAPS Demonstration. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how HAPS can take an existing application and, without making any changes to it, quickly create interfaces for both browser users and rich clients to support a wide range of users. The speaker for today's teleconference is Will Smythe, HAPS software developer. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, Will Smythe.
Okay, well, thank you. So we have a lot of material to cover this morning or this afternoon, so I'm going to go fairly quickly. So if we look at the agenda, I'm going to start with an overview of IBM Rational Host Access Transformation Services, also called HATS. Then I'm going to do a quick demonstration where I'm going to show how to customize a screen using HATS. Then I'm going to talk about some of the release highlights for our newest release, HATS 7.1, which came out just recently. And I'm going to talk a little bit about EGL as well as HATS and how you can use them together as part of a larger modernization effort. So go ahead and move to slide 3. So what is HATS? HATS basically enables you to transform your 5250 and 3270 green screen applications and deliver them to the web, a rich client, or a portal. And it does this in a couple of different ways. One, it allows you to really reuse your applications without touching your application, so there's no impact to your code. You don't have to change any of your code. You can use your applications as is. There's a low skill requirement for HATS, so you don't have to have a lot of hardcore Java skills or other web HTML skills to use HATS. HATS is also very highly customizable, so you're in complete control of your HATS application. You're in control of the navigation of the application as well as the look and feel of the application. Another important aspect of HATS is the iterative development process, which I'll talk about more on the next slide. But this basically enables you to start out slow and build extra customizations into your application over time. You don't have to do everything up front on day one. The other thing that HATS does is it lets you build web services that interact with your green screen applications. So as well as transforming the screens, you can also build services which interact with those green screen applications. You can then expose these services to external business partners or other customers or other groups within your organization. So some of the other benefits of HATS, you can really, as I mentioned before, really reuse your existing assets without, you know, impacting your existing code that's out there. Slide number 4. As I mentioned before, one of the major aspects of HATS is that you can really modernize at your own pace. And what this means is that you don't have to do all the work up front with HATS. You can start out on day one doing simple screen, what we call default rendering, to customize your screens, and then slowly over time add more customization to your applications so that, you know, for example, you know, on day 20 or day 30, you can add more value to your existing HATS applications to make it more usable to your users. So slide number 5, some of the values of HATS. So HATS plays in a number of different places. You can build applications that run on a rich client. You can build applications that run on a browser, run in portal, mobile devices, and, as I mentioned before, web services. And each of these different places has their own values. For example, on a rich client, there's no Web3 application server involved, so you can actually, you know, get all the benefits of HATS without using Web3 application server. Some of the values of the browser solution is that you can use a standard web browser to access your host applications, zero footprint, pure HTML, no applet, anything like that required. Portal allows you to basically integrate your host applications with other web applications that you may have inside of a portal environment. And you can start doing some things like cooperative portlets or, you know, inter-portlet communication. Mobile device is something that we're adding in HATS 7.1 that basically allows you to access your green screen applications using mobile devices, such as a device running Microsoft Internet Explorer on a mobile device. Slide 6. If you look at slide 6, this basically shows an architectural comparison between the different offerings that you can do with HATS. So, for example, in a traditional emulator setup, you have a persistent 3270 or 5250 data stream connection back to your system I or system Z, you know, fairly standard sort of client-server setup. if you look at the bottom of this slide, you'll see that in the standard HATS web application architecture, you have a browser connected to a HATS application running on WebSphere application server or WebSphere portal. That's basically a non-persistent connection that uses HTTP. The HATS application itself is what initiates the connection to your system I or your system Z and maintains that persistent connection. If you look at the top of the diagram, you'll notice the rich client. It's very similar to the traditional terminal emulator architecture, except that it has this idea of an update site server or a provisioning server. What this thing basically does is it handles all the updates to your application. So you can basically have HATS running on your end user's desktop, but getting all of its updates from a central server. This makes it easy for the developer or the administrator to get updates down to your users who are running the HATS Rich Client solution. One other thing to point out on this slide is that at the bottom, you'll notice that web services work very similar to the way they work with a standard web browser architecturally. The web service creates a non-persistent connection using HTTP or SOAP over HTTP to your HATS web application running on WebSphere. Slide number 7, this basically shows a simple, how to create a HATS web application. And I'll actually go through quite a few of these steps later in the demonstration. Slide number 8, basically with HATS, you're able to create an application that looks however you want it to look. So, for example, if you want a web application that transform your green screen but actually looks like a green screen application, you can certainly do that using what we call a classic terminal template. You also get advanced features such as keyboard support, so that if a user presses F5 on their keyboard, it will actually send an F5 to your host application. You also get support for things like numeric-only fields, alphabetic-only fields. You can show a host keypad if you want, as well as an OIA area. So you can really make your HATS web application look like a classic terminal application. Slide number 9, of course, if you want your application to have a more modern look, you can certainly do that with HATS, and that's typically how customers use HATS today. In this example here, we've customized some screens to show how you can really integrate cool widgets like calendar widgets or graph widgets into your HATS web application to give it a more modern look. You can also do things like pop-ups or drop-downs or checkboxes. So it's really giving your host applications a new modern look that makes it a lot more attractive for users who aren't really accustomed to using green screen applications. Slide 10, this shows just another example of a highly customized HATS transformation or screen. In this example here, we basically created a tab folder that represents a table of data. One of the tabs, we actually have a graph that's representing that tabular data. We also have a calendar widget here showing how you can take a date field on your green screen and make it a calendar pop-up field. Slide 11 just shows some more examples of customizing HATS web application using drop-downs or calendar widgets. Okay, so slide number 13, I'm going to walk through just a simple example showing how you can customize a HATS web application. So basically customizing a single screen within your green screen. So slide 13, we're looking at the HATS perspective. This is basically a perspective within the Rational Software Delivery Platform. HATS is just another perspective. There's also perspectives for Java developers or EGL developers or COBOL developers. So within the HATS perspective, you'll see a welcome page when you first come into HATS. The welcome page basically provides step-by-step instructions for doing simple HATS tasks. To launch the new HATS project wizard, you'll click a button or click a link, and this will open up the wizard that you can actually create a new HATS web project. A couple things to point out here. Whenever you're first creating that web project or that project, you can select whether it's a web project or a rich client project. And so for this example, we'll just select web project, specify the application server that we're targeting. In this example, it'll be WebSphere Application Server 6.1. We'll give the project a name and select an enterprise application name. If you click next in that wizard, you're going to get what you see on slide 15, which is a connection settings page. This is basically where you tell HATS the host name or IP address of your System I or System Z system. You also select the type, whether it's 3270 or 5250, select the code page, the screen size, etc. Slide 16, this is the theme selection page. A theme is really just a way for you to select sort of the common appearance and behavior characteristics for your application. And so, for example, if you want your application to sort of behave more like a classic, you know, terminal emulator application, you can select that theme. And what will happen is HATS will enable certain emulator-like functions within your project. So things like automatic field advance, cursor positioning on protected fields, keyboard support, etc. So for this example, we'll just select the standard theme and click Next. This shows us slide 17, which is the template selection panel. This is basically where you can select the default look for your HATS application. HATS includes about, you know, 15 or so templates out of the box that you can use, or you can actually import your own template if you don't like one of the templates that we've provided. And this template is basically, it basically wraps every screen or every page that HATS generates so that your HATS application has a consistent look. So after you click Finish on this panel, you'll end up, HATS will go ahead and create that project for you, and you'll notice that HATS has opened up the Project Settings Editor. There's a lot of settings in the Project Settings Editor that we could change at this point, but for now what we'll do is we'll actually just click on the Run on Server action on the context menu, and this will actually deploy our HATS web application to Web3 application server and actually start the application. So slide 19, this shows what the default rendered look of the sign on screen will look like. So after the application is deployed, which takes a couple of minutes, you'll actually get a web browser which will show your sign-on screen. And so what HATS does by default is it renders all the fields that it encounters. It also does some smart things, like, for example, you'll notice at the bottom of this screen that HATS has detected a function key, F3 equals exit, and it's actually made it a clickable link. So basically, out of the box, HATS gives your application, you know, instant value. Users will have a more usable system to use, you know, just, you know, on day one of using HATS. So slide 20 just shows an example of a default rendered main menu screen. And we're actually going to customize this screen because obviously this look that you're getting here isn't very user-friendly. It, you know, the user has to type in some cryptic code to go into one of these different operations. So we'll actually customize this screen and show you how you can do that with HATS. So slide 21, what a developer will do is they'll actually open up their HATS host terminal, and this is just a picture of that on slide 21. They'll go ahead and sign in, and then they'll actually navigate to the screen that they want to customize. So in this example on slide 22, we're actually on the main menu screen, the same main menu screen that we see in the HATS web application. What the developer will do at this point is they'll click the New Screen Customization button to create a new screen customization. A screen customization is basically just a way for a developer to tell HATS what to do when some screen is recognized. So we'll give this screen customization a name, such as Main Menu or Menu. And then on slide 24, the developer will tell HATS how to identify this screen. And so typically developers will just use some sort of screen, some sort of text on the screen to identify it. So in this example, we've roped off operator instructions and used that as the screen recognition criteria for this screen. So once you've told HATS how to identify a screen, on slide 25 you tell HATS what to do when that screen is identified. And typically what a developer will do is they'll say, I want to apply a transformation, which means they want to customize how this screen is rendered and displayed to an end user. And there's a couple of different ways they can create a transformation. They can start with a blank transformation, which we'll do in this example, or they can actually start with what we call a pre-populated transformation, which is where HATS default rendering has been run on the screen at development time, and we've actually populated the JSP HTML page with all the components and all the widgets that we found on that screen. So what a developer can then do is they can open up that page in the WYSIWYG HTML editor and actually, you know, drag and drop pieces around the screen, remove pieces, etc. But for this example, we'll start out with just a blank transformation. So slide 26, after HATS creates the screen customization, it's going to open it up in the transformation editor. And so you'll notice underneath the dialogue here is we have a blank sort of canvas. But Hats opens up what we call the Insert Host Component Wizard. This wizard basically lets you rope off a region of the screen that you want to render and then sort of control how that rendering occurs. So for this example, we'll actually just rope off this transaction field at the bottom or sort of at the middle of the screen. Slide 27, once you've roped off a region and selected Next, you basically tell Hats what to look for in that region. And so for this example, we'll say, well, look for all input fields in that region. So we select the input field component. You know, if you were looking for function keys or subfiles or selection lists or menus or something like that, you would select that component in the list. Then in the widget list, you actually select how you want Hats to render that field that it found. And so you can render an input field as, you know, as an input field. You can render it as, you know, a checkbox, a set of radio buttons, a drop-down. So for this example, we'll render it as a drop-down. So we'll select that, and then on slide 28, we'll actually go in and customize some of the individual settings for that drop-down widget. You'll notice here that I've selected the fill from string radio button or checkbox, and then I've specified the values to include in that drop-down. We could have easily, you know, sort of scraped these values off the screen and populated the drop-down that way, but it's a little bit easier for demonstration purposes just to sort of hand-type those values into the field. I've also selected to use a custom caption because the caption that Hats found on the screen is fairly cryptic. So I typed select an action as the new caption for the drop-down. So there's a bunch of other settings I could have changed on this panel. For example, style settings, but I haven't done that here. So once you click OK there and you actually finish the Insert Host Component Wizard, on slide 29, you can actually then draw where you want this new drop-down to appear on your web page. And so I basically just drawn it to appear sort of near the upper part of the screen or part of the web page. Slide 30, what I'll do now is I'll actually draw a text, what they call a text cell, and then type some text into it. In this example, because this is sort of a customer information screen or menu, I'm just going to type the word customer information as sort of a title or sort of a label for this screen. Slide 31, I'm just going to add an OK button. So I'm going to select Hats Tools, Insert Host Key, select the Enter key. And then slide 32, I'll actually drop that OK button onto my Transformation JSP page and then also add a cancel button. The OK button, whenever you click it, will actually send an enter command to the host application. You could also have it send, you know, an F3 or an F12 or whatever you want. The idea here is that the user's not going to have to know whether to press enter or F3 or F12. Just like any other web application, they can just click a button such as OK or cancel or whatever, and then your application will handle sending the appropriate key to the host application that's running under the covers. So slide 33, I'm going to use that same process of selecting an area of the screen to render, and I'm going to add that number field that also exists on the green screen. So I basically just ran the Insert Host Component Wizard again, roped off the number field, selected the input field component, and then dropped it next to the Select an Action field. So after you save the transformation and you flip back to your browser and click Refresh, on slide 34, you'll actually see what the screen will look like to your end users now. You know, if you remember back to what it looked like before, it was very green screen looking and very cryptic looking, and the developer or the end user had to know, you know, how to fill in the fields on that screen. But as you'll see on slide 34, it's much easier to now, you know, use this particular screen. You've made it a lot easier to use, and it really only took a few minutes to do this. Okay, so slide 35. So as I mentioned before, Hats can be used to customize applications that then run in a browser, a portal, a mobile device. We also let you build applications that actually run on the user's system within an Eclipse Rich Client platform. And so you get all the same functionalities that you get with Hats Web, but you don't need WebSphere Application Server, and the applications perform a little bit better because you have sort of moved or removed a piece out of the path. You've removed WebSphere Application Server. So you can actually build applications that run within Eclipse RCP 3.2 or 3.3, as well as IBM's version or extension of the Eclipse Rich Client platform, the Lotus Expediter Client. Slide 36, if you look at comparing Hatch Rich Client to a traditional emulator, what are some of the advantages you get? The main thing is just the instant productivity enhancements that you get for free with Hatch. You know, you get the automatic, you know, rendering of function keys into clickable buttons, selection list items into buttons or links. So you get a lot of value out of the box with Hatch in the Rich Client compared to an emulator. Also, because your application is running on the user system, you have, you know, it's much easier for the developer to access and integrate with files or other programs on that user system. You also get platform support for automatic updates, new updates, or installing of new applications. The application that you build can actually run on a Windows client or a Linux client. If you look at slide 37, comparing the Hatch Rich Client to the Hatch Web, as I mentioned before, some of the advantages of the Rich Client is that, you know, you don't have a WebSphere application server or WebSphere portal in the mix, which is attractive to some customers, especially smaller customers. The response time is a little bit better. There's less network traffic on your network because instead of transporting HTML over the network, you're actually just transporting the same 3270 or 52 data stream that you were transporting before. And you also get things like the user can actually change some of their keyboard mappings like they can do with a classic emulator or a terminal emulator. A user can easily work with multiple instances of the same application at the same time. This is something that's fairly difficult to do with Hatch Web. You also get asynchronous update support, so if something changes, you know, like a break message is displayed, the Hatch Rich Client solution will automatically show that message to the end user. You also have a little bit more flexibility in how the transformations are displayed, as well as you have the ability to go in and really add extra validation and other things like that. So slide 38, this basically points out the fact that Hatch is built on, you know, standard IBM technologies. The Hatch toolkit runs on the IBM software delivery or development platform. So you get, if you have developers already using the platform for doing Java development or COBOL development or something like that, jumping over and starting to use Hatch won't be that big of a jump for them. Hatch applications can run on WebSphere Application Server, WebSphere Portal, on a variety of platforms, AIX, i5OS, ZOS, Z-Linux, Windows. And as I mentioned before, the Rich Client applications can run on the open source Eclipse Rich Client platform. So if you've built other applications on top of the Eclipse Rich Client platform, your Hatch applications can run right with them on the same platform. So slide 39 just points out some of the other features and sort of the values of Hatch. I've mentioned most of these at this point. One thing I haven't mentioned is the ability for you to combine screens and data from actually multiple backend systems and display it to a user all on one web page. So, for example, if you have, you know, a long list of, you know, parts or something that's spread out over, you know, multiple screens, you can actually collect all that data and show it in one web page to your user. So it makes it a lot more user-friendly, makes it more web-like, so a user isn't, you know, page down, you know, scrolling through a table of data. As I mentioned before, and I'll actually demonstrate later, you can actually build web services that, you know, basically script your way through some transaction on your green screen applications. Okay, so slide 40. So Hatch 7.1 was released on March 28th, or GM'd on March 28th, and is available now. A couple things to point out here. We've added new features, obviously. We've also done some other things where we've rebranded, and I'll talk about that more now on slide 41. We've rebranded from WebSphere to Rational, so Hatch is now a Rational product. If you're a SystemI user, we've renamed WDHT to Host Access Transformation Services, or HATS, for 5250 applications. Basically the same product, just renamed. There's also some differences in pricing. And then also on the packaging side, we now include the web-facing tool as part of the HATS toolkit. So prior to HAT 7.1, you would get web facing through WDSC or WDSC AE if you're a System I user. But in 7.1, the web facing tool is now included with HATs. So slide 42, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this, but this basically just shows some of the different packages that you can get with HATs or ways that you can get HATs. And some of these packages actually include a restricted version of Web3 application server, but that's really just there for your reference. Slide 43, as I mentioned before, in HAT 7.1, we introduced mobile device support. And so what this means is that you can now build web applications and make them available to users that are running mobile devices. And so as you can see from the screenshot there, you can now access your transform green screen applications using, cell phones or, PDAs. The main requirement here is that you're running Internet Explorer Mobile 5.0 or later on that mobile device. But you can really do a lot of the same things that you can do with a HATS web application. You can customize it. You can add business logic. You can skip screens using macros, etc. So you can do all or most of the same things that you can do with in a HATS web application within your HATS mobile device application. And I think the point out here is that you could, prior to HATS 7.1, you could always use HATS to build integration objects or web services and then interfaces on top of that that could be accessed from a mobile device. This really allows you to access those transformation applications with a mobile device, something that you couldn't do prior to HATS 7.1. So slide 44 shows something we called compact default rendering, and basically what this does is it, just like it sounds, it compacts the default rendered screen so that it can be viewable on a mobile device. And so you'll see from the screenshot on the right there that we've compacted and basically removed a lot of the empty white space that's on the green screen and made it, much more viewable for somebody using a mobile device. We've also moved the keypad up to the top and made it a drop-down, as well as, moved the OIA-type icons also to the top to make them more viewable. Slide 45 is a feature that makes it easier to display subfiles or tables on the mobile device. Instead of, rendering the table as a long, sort of very wide table, you can now actually render it very small. But then if you click the details button next to the row on the table, it will actually expand it and show you the details for that particular row. And this actually can use AJAX under the cover so that the entire table of data doesn't have to come down initially. Only the data that the user requests comes down whenever the user requests it. Slide 46, JSR 168 portlet support. This really doesn't add a lot of new functionality except that you can now run your HATS applications on JSR 168 portal servers such as WebSphere Application Server or WebSphere Portal. At this point, however, WebSphere Portal is the only supported portal environment for JSR 168 portlets created in HATS. Slide 47. So HATS has been able to build web services for quite a while now, and so we do want to point out some of the new tooling that we've created around HATS SOA or web services. The thing to point out here is that, IBM has an SOA strategy, and HATS fits perfectly into that strategy because it doesn't require you to rip and replace or rebuild or rewrite any of your back-end applications. You can use them as is and then create HATS web services around those applications. So there's no rewriting involved, which is sort of the main thing around this. The other thing is if you have a mix of 3270 and 5250 applications, you can use HATS to create web services for both types of applications. So one toolkit can create services for both types of applications or systems. So slide 48, in HATS 7.1, we've introduced something called a visual macro editor. And in HATS 7.1, it's just a technology preview, which means that it's not fully supported, but it's certainly something that you can use. And it's actually included with HATS 7.1, so whenever you install it, there's a checkbox that lets you include the VME feature. But what the feature allows you to do is basically visually edit and develop your HATS macros. And a macro is really just a script that navigates through your back-end applications and, you know, either pulls data off those applications or supplies data onto the application. So now you have a much easier way to develop these macros, which I mentioned before, are really the base or the starting point for a HATS web service. So we think the VME is really going to significantly increase the productivity of the developer, and it's going to be easier on the developer to handle alternate flows as well as error conditions that need to be handled when developing a macro. It's also going to help decrease some of the logic or flow errors that can be introduced whenever you're developing a macro, because it'll allow you to actually see the entire flow of the macro visually, so you can make sure that you're handling all the situations that you need to handle. Slide 49 just shows a screenshot of what the visual macro editor looks like, and you can basically see your screens are basically represented as rectangles, and the lines there represent sort of the path that the macro can take through those screens. So you'll notice on the sign-on screen at the top, there's actually four potential screens that could happen after the sign-on screen. You could run into like a bad password condition or a bad username condition. Or on System I, a lot of times you'll either run into a display program messages screen or you'll run into like a main menu screen. And so you're able to visually see the different paths that your macro might take. And obviously you can add new screens, you can wire screens in, you can add actions to these screens. So it's really a step up over the current tooling around HATS macros, as you'll see on slide 50. So slide 50, on the left-hand side, you'll see how the current HATS macro tooling displays and shows a HATS macro. It's currently, today it's in a tree form, so it's very difficult to really see the flow of the macro. But on the right, you'll see how HATS displays the macro, that exact same macro in the visual macro editor. It's much easier to see the flow of the macro in the visual macro editor. Okay, so slide 51, I'm going to start a very simple demonstration of building a HATS web service using HATS and the visual macro editor. So slide 52, just like before, we're going to start out in the HATS perspective. We could have used the same project that we created before, but I'll go ahead and step through the steps of creating this again. So slide 53, we'll select a web deployment for our application. Slide 54, we'll select the connection settings for our application. Slide 55, instead of doing a run on server like we did in the previous demonstration, slide 55 will actually open up the host terminal, and slide 56 will actually click the create or record macro button on the terminal. And what this does is that HATS will prompt us for a name for this new macro. In this example, we'll call it get customer information because that's really what this macro is going to do. And once we hit finish, HATS is actually going to start recording every keystroke that we make until we stop recording the macro. So it's basically recording the script as you navigate through the screens. So slide 57, on the very first screen of a macro, HATS is going to ask you to name it as well as identify it. So just like we identified the main menu screen with some screen recognition or some string recognition, we'll identify this sign-on screen the same way. And so basically what we'll do is we'll navigate into that same application that we navigated to before. We'll identify one of the important screens here, the main menu screen. And then what we'll do is we'll actually create what we call a prompt. And really what a prompt is it's a way for the HATS macro to fill in a value on the green screen from some external source. And so what's going to happen in this example is once we generate the web service from this macro, the web service is going to end up with input parameters for each of the prompts that we added when we recorded the macro. So in this example here on slide 60, we're going to add a prompt for that number field, and we're going to call the prompt customer number. And this is going to be the only input into our web service. What this web service is going to do is it's actually going to take this customer number and look up information about that customer and return it back through the web service. So slide 60, we've added the prompt for the customer number field. Slide 61. In order for the macro to continue recording, HATS is going to prompt us to fill in a value because we obviously don't want to type in a value because then it would be recorded with our macro. So we're going to type in a value into this prompt field. We'll supply a valid value. And then once HATS displays the file inquiry or the customer information screen, we're going to define the screen recognition criteria for it, and then we're going to go ahead and just sign off the system at this point. We could have, at this point, added extract actions for each of the important fields on that customer information screen, but we're actually going to use the Visual Macro Editor to do that. And this really just kind of highlights the fact that you can use both the host terminal to record the macro and then enhance it using the Visual Macro Editor, or you can create the macro completely from scratch using the Visual Macro Editor. I think most customers are going to want to use the host terminal to record the simple path through the macro and then use the Visual Macro Editor, as I'll show you here in a minute, to further enhance the macro. So at this point, we have a very simple macro that really just prompts for a customer number and really doesn't do anything else except to navigate to the appropriate screens. So slide 64, what we'll do now that we've saved the macro is we'll actually open up that macro in the Visual Macro Editor. So right-click, open with Visual Macro Editor. Slide 65 shows how that same macro appears in the Visual Macro Editor. You'll notice that since it's a very simple macro, it's, you know, all the screens are lined up, you know, perfectly vertical. You'll see our screen one. You'll also see our main menu screen that we identified, as well as our customer information screen. So what you can do, because HATS recorded or saved screen captures for each of the screens that we hit with the macro, you can actually hover over any of the screens represented in the visual design area and actually see a preview of that screen. So you'll notice if we hover over the customer information screen, we actually see a preview of it. So what we're going to do now is we're going to actually add actions to extract all the important data off those screens. So on slide 67, we're going to right-click on our screen, our customer information screen, right-click, select Actions, and then we're going to select the Extract All action. You'll notice that on slide 67 there are other actions we could have selected. You know, you'll see the prompt action. So, for example, if we wanted to fill in some field on the screen, we could have selected the prompt action. But since we're really just scraping values off the screen, we're going to use the extract action. You can also do other things whenever a screen is encountered. You can, you know, move the cursor position. You can play another macro. You know, you can run custom Java code if you need to for whatever reason. So for this, we'll just do an extract all. Slide 68 shows the interface for the extract all action. And so what HATS is doing is it's showing all the fields that it found on the screen in a table. And what we can do is we can just put checkboxes or check the fields that we think are important that we actually want to extract and manifest through our web service. So you'll notice on slide 68 that we've checked basically all the value fields. We've checked the 0001 field, we've checked the BMO AMP field, and we've also, in the name field, we've renamed these fields so that they're more logical. And these names that we've used here, number, name, address, phone, date, will all be output parameters on our web service. So we identified an input parameter called customer number, and here we've identified all the output parameters for our web service. So we'll click Finish to add those actions. Slide 69, we'll go ahead and move those actions above the Send F3 command because we want to do all the extractions before we send F3 to get off that screen. Slide 70 shows what the macro now looks like now that we've added these extra extract actions. You'll see now that whenever we hit the customer information screen in the macro, that you'll see, you'll notice that HATS will do an extraction for the number field, the name field, the address field, etc. Now at this point, we could actually open up the integrated terminal that's built into the Visual Macro Editor and actually play this macro back and actually, you know, get prompted for a customer number and then actually see all the extracted values. But for really the purpose of time, we'll go ahead and just jump into creating the web service. So the first step of creating the web service on slide 71 is to create what we call an integration object, and really this is just a Java wrapper for our macro. So you'll end up with a Java class or a set of Java classes that could drive this macro. So we'll create the integration object. Slide 72, we'll create what we call the web service support files. And whenever you create the web service support files, if you had created multiple macros and created multiple integration objects, you can actually include them within the same web service. So as you'll see on slide 74, we're actually going to generate a very generic web service called Customer Information Services, or Customer Services. And then we could actually have multiple operations under that single web service. But because, you know, we just recorded one macro and we created only one integration object, we're going to end up with a web service that has a single operation on it called Get Customer Information. So slide 74 basically just shows the new web service wizard, and this is all provided through the rational tooling. HATS is basically just allowing you to use these wizards or call these wizards from within HATS. So for this example, we're just going to do a very simple web service. We're not going to create a client or anything like that. We're just going to create a simple web service and then use what's called the Web Services Explorer to test the web service. So slide 75, we've generated the web service, which generates a WSDL file or a WSDL file. This file basically describes the web service. It describes its operations. It describes its inputs and outputs. So we'll generate the web service. We'll now launch the Web Services Explorer. The Web Services Explorer on slide 76 basically just shows all the operations available in your web service. And if you click an operation, as we've done on slide 77, you're going to see all the inputs for your web service operation. You'll notice that we have a customer number input as well as some other HATS-specific inputs. So what you can actually do is you can actually fill in a customer number. So for example, 00042, click the Go button, and then on slide 78, you'll actually see the results of your web service invocation in the status area. And so if you look carefully in the status area, you'll see our phone field, our date field, our address field, all those fields that we extracted in our macro are now outputs on our web service. So you can imagine how you could then post this web service out to a server and then be able to call it from any web service client that you have. Any client capable of making a SOAP call can pass in a customer number and get back information about the customer. So slide 79, just to quickly point out some of the other SOA capabilities, you can do things like connection pooling with HATS. You can set up connect and disconnect macros to initialize and really sign out sessions. You can use something called user list to basically use a set of predefined username and passwords to log into an application or to a system. You can also do stateful or stateless web service interactions. And obviously this is important when we're talking about terminal applications because terminal applications are typically stateful. They require some sort of state to be maintained between interactions. So you can certainly do that with HATS, even whenever you're using web services. So real quick, slide 80, talking about some of the other features that we've added in HATS 7.1. We really added this feature in HATS 7.02, but it basically allows you to override connection parameters whenever you're making a web service call. So, for example, if you want to redirect a web service to talk to a different host, you can turn on this feature and then basically pass in a new host name with your web service request. You can also set up multiple connections in your HATS application and point to a different connection whenever you run a web service or an integration object. Slide 81, we've added arrow key navigation support in the rich client, which basically means that end users can navigate around the transform screen using their arrow keys, very similar to how they could do it with a traditional terminal emulator product. So this is especially useful for power users who are very accustomed to, you know, using their arrow keys to navigate around to fields, and makes it much easier for those types of users to use the HATS application. Slide 82, we've introduced a feature where we now automatically set the WAR class loader policy. This is especially important if you're using custom Java code or custom components or widgets in your HATS application. HATS will automatically set this WAR class loader policy so that the administrator doesn't have to set it after they deploy the application to the server. This happens, you know, quite a bit where the administrator will forget to set this policy, a user will try to access the application and it'll fail. We now set this as part of the application so that the administrator doesn't have to remember to do it after deploying. Slide 83, we've added a new action called remove global variable, and this basically just clears or deletes a global variable. So this is important if you're trying to reduce the memory footprint on the server machine. If you know you no longer need a variable, you can now remove it easily with an action. You could do this prior to HAT 7.1, but you had to write custom Java code to do this. Slide 84, another important thing to point out here is HATs and EGL can be used together as part of really an overall modernization effort. So EGL is Enterprise Generation Language, and it really allows RPG or COBOL developers to really, develop or write applications using, a new language that is cross-platform, can run on a variety of different platforms, and can actually be used to generate Java code or COBOL code. And so what customers can do is they can actually build a modernized application using both HATs and EGL. And so, why is this a good thing? I mean, the good thing here is that HATs web services can be built very quickly and without any impact to your code. So if you were to look at all of the programs and applications that you're looking to modernize, you can use EGL for maybe some of your more important applications and then use HATs for some of your applications that maybe aren't as important or aren't going to change, and you can build web services for those that you don't have to worry about later on. So you can basically use HATs and EGL together as part of an overall modernization effort. And there's actually two videos there that are listed on slide 84 that you can actually go at and you can actually watch the step-by-step demonstration of how this is done. Slide 85 just basically points out those steps that are shown in the video from the HATs developer perspective. Slide 86 shows the steps from an EGL developer perspective. The basic idea is that the HATs developer will generate a WSDL like we did in the previous demonstration, hand it to the EGL developer, and then the EGL developer will build an EGL web application using that WSDL file. Slide 87, a couple things to point out here. Number one, the links on the right-hand side, there's links to the HATs product page. We have some live demo applications that you can access. So you can actually see a live running HATs demo application, and you can actually interact with it. You can also download the HATs trial toolkit. So if you have Rational Application Developer 7 or WDSC 7 or RDI SOA, for example, you can download the HATs trial and install it on top of those platforms. We also have what we call a HATs demo CD. This CD has a lot of presentations and tutorials and videos that really show a lot of the features of HATs. So if you're interested in getting that CD, you can send an email to hatsdemo@us.ibm.com and just request a HATs demo CD, say how many CDs you need, and they'll ship you that CD. Slide 88, some of the other online resources that we have. I mentioned the demos. We have a lot of webcasts and podcasts. We have links to education courses that we offer as well as services. Slide 89. Thank you very much. I'll go ahead and now turn it back over to the operator.
Thank you, Will. We would now like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time that you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. Please stand by as we allow everyone a chance to signal. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question 3. Does your company currently have developers supporting multiple environments such as mainframe, Unix, Windows, etc.? If yes, and they each have their own development platform and process, press star 1. If yes, and they have already adopted a common developer platform tool, press star 2. Or if only have one platform in the company, press star 3. Again, we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. Question 4. If your company has applications running on multiple platforms, do you have a common set of lifecycle development processes across the platforms? If you do not have applications running on multiple platforms, press star 1. If have applications running on multiple platforms and have set a common of processes across the platforms, press star 2. Or if have applications running on the multiple platforms, but they each have their own set of lifecycle management processes, press star 3. Question 5. We hope that you've enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we'll pause again for just a moment. Concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. At this time, I'll turn the conference over to Will while we wait for questions. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. And we do have a question from Yashmi Sikar.
No, actually, I don't have any questions. Sorry for that.
Thank you. And as a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 to signal. And we do have a question from Anthony Baer.
Hi, Will. Thank you so much for the presentation and also demonstration on HATS. My question surrounds when using web services with HATS, if you find within your dealings that there are integrations that take place between Rational Application Developer and HATS when deploying within enterprise environments?
I don't quite understand your question. Can you repeat it? Sorry.
Sure, no problem. In looking over your presentation and watching your demonstration regarding creating web services to consume, I was wondering if there, in your experience, if you have customers that are using HATS alongside Rational Application Developer for creating services in different environments and being able to integrate both products together?
You know, right off the top of my head, I can't think of a customer that's doing that. We certainly have a lot of customers that are using the web service capabilities of HATS, so basically using the HATS toolkit to build the web services that connect to the green screen applications. This almost sounds more like a, maybe not like a RAD question, but some of the other tools that IBM offers that allows you to really choreograph different web services. I think it's still called WebSphere Integration Developer or Integrator Developer, which basically provides tooling that helps you better integrate different types of services together and as part of sort of an overall process choreography kind of system. So that may be something that you'd like to look into is that WID product. But we definitely do have customers that are building web services, and like I said, I can't think of a customer off the top of my head that's building other web services using this tooling. I talk to other systems, but I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't.
Thank you.
Yep.
And Mr. Smythe, it appears there are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing comments.
Thanks, everyone, for joining. My email address is at the very front page of that presentation, so if you have any other questions, feel free to contact me. And thanks again for joining.
That does conclude today's teleconference. Thank you all for your participation, and have a wonderful day.